It's unusual for the sermon and the worship leader to be by the same person. I'm aware that there's a lot of Jane today. But this is beginning our time that is typically known as the sermon and the scripture time. And I want to preface that by saying in the 18 years that I've been one of the pastors here, it's been striking to me that in any evaluations that have been done along the years about worship, there was one particular element that we would sometimes evaluate that always got 100% feedback that was positive. And that was when we took time to have testimonies or sharing in a planned way by those of you who are in the congregation. Something about hearing from each other about your life with God or what God is doing in your life is appreciated, especially things that happen in a day-to-day way. So today we're using this time a little differently. Our sermon today is being shared by the opportunity to hear six folks among us about a practice, a spiritual practice in their life that helps them to connect with God. And so in the coming minutes, it's going to be a rhythm of a brief reflection by me, a scripture that Jeremy will read, a couple of testimonies, and then a song or a hymn, and that'll repeat three times. We may have already discovered in our lives that what we do in our lives, the choices we make for how we spend our time and what we put into our heads and our hearts, that shapes us. That's especially true in the walk with God. People of faith for thousands of years have identified and been passing on and passing on to one another testimonies about practices that they do, things that they do regularly that help them daily walk close to God, like we sang a moment ago. It's a daily walking close to God that has three purposes. It helps us to resemble Jesus more. It helps us to be enfolded and to enfold others in the body of Christ. And it strengthens us to be Jesus in the world. It strengthens the body and the people in the body to go out and to be God's agents in the world. A moment ago, we sang this intention when we said, "Just a closer walk with thee, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be." The majority of the spiritual practices the church passes on have been very time-tested. Some, like regular prayer, scripture reading, tithing, we know those were evident back in the days of the Israelites, back before Jesus, and they have been practiced in every generation since. Some are newer and haven't been as time-tested, we might say. Those early worshipers wouldn't have known, for example, probably about journaling or how you could spend time on a bike with God, or that you could gather in a Bible study online. Some of the spiritual practices sound very religious and use materials that have long been treasures of the faith, like the scriptures, prayer books, and hymnals. And some are practiced very much right out there in the world where you are every single day, or where in your workplace, or where you interact in the bleachers, or at the swimming pool, or at the scout meetings, perhaps in the homeless shelter, or at the hospital. And those are the places where you are revealing that God is larger than any of the tools and any of the containers that we might use to become closer to God. What is common in all spiritual practice is that it is a choice that we make to do something on a regular basis, whether it's daily, weekly, or some other kind of rhythm, in such a way that our through God's grace, our relationship with God can grow. I would just commend you for choosing today the practice of worship. You could have been someplace else this morning, and you chose the spiritual practice of worship. Spiritual practices are the conduits, I think of, that allow the flow of the living water in our life. In the beginning of May, Lynette and I were able to visit Albuquerque as part of our continuing education as spiritual directors. And we could take a short walk, about a mile, down to the Rio Grande River. But to get there from the retreat house, we had to walk for maybe a quarter of a mile or a couple tenths through a huge cement conduit as large as this room. Imagine this was a conduit. It was opened at the surface, but from one side all the way across here. And most of the year you can walk through that conduit and there's not a drop of water. I think they get 5 inches of rain a year, but when the rains come, they come in flood-like capacities, and I can only imagine that that conduit is just pulsing with the water. That reminds me of spiritual practices in the sense that a lot of the time it might feel kind of dry. But you are making a conduit for God's living water in your life and to flow through you to others and to the world when we make these practices. So let us hear then some scriptures, some testimonies, and sing together some songs. Jeremy, will you come read to us from the Psalms?
I'll be reading from Psalm 19, verse 1 to 8. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statute and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be followed, fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying the decrees. Then I will not to be put ashamed when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees and do not utterly forsake me. Psalm 19, verse 169-176. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your words. May my supplication come before you, that deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise for you to teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your words, follow your commands and are righteous. May your hands be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and law gives me delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your law sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep, seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands.
A couple words on why I need to read the scriptures. I need to read the scriptures because that is how I know God. That's not surprising because scriptures are the stories of God revealing himself to human beings. So the scriptures are indispensable for knowing God. But to be sure, I also experience God outside of the scripture in prayer and relationships and trying to follow Jesus. Many of us are familiar with the challenge that the early Anabaptist Hans Denk gave to us, that no one can know Jesus unless he follows him in life. The scriptures are not an end in themselves. Knowing God in my life is the goal. And Jesus tells us this in the story of the house built on the sand, and James the same thing when he tells the story of a man that looks into the mirror and does or doesn't follow God. But I cannot know God in my life without the scriptures. Just a couple of things of what I bring to the Bible when I read it. I believe that the scriptures are true. Now, some of what I understand has changed and continues to change of what I understand about the scriptures, and I can't harmonize everything that I read in the scriptures. But that doesn't change the fact that the scriptures are true in what they mean to say to me. And a second thing I need not to do, I need to not read the scriptures thinking, I already know this. I start reading and say, yeah, I've read that. That I can skip this. And that's related to believing that the Bible is true. Because as I read the scriptures, there continues to be layer upon layer upon layer that I haven't seen yet, and that I don't need, that I don't live yet. So I need to come to the scriptures, or else I can't know God.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your presence during Divine Ends Day. Thank you for drawing near to us. With you, God, all things are possible in our life. Help us to be help us to become the person that you want us to become every area of our life. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who fail, we ask you to pour your love. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them. Praise the Lord, and let all the glory go to you and your kingdom. Now and forever. Amen.
Please turn in your green hymnal, Sing the Journey. We're going to do number 27, God of the Bible. Let's stand for this. Verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
Daryl and Jeanette reflected on and modeled for us two of the most ancient of spiritual practices, two of the most beloved and we might say necessary practices. They are two that people of faith have long declared is central to a life that is lived with and for God. The practices like scripture reading and prayer that draw us personally into a relationship with God over the many decades, somebody in their sixth decade, and I'm not going to guess your age, Jeanette, who are still practicing practices that we would have learned as children. These are foundational to what it means to have a life in God. And we all need foundational practices like that, that ground us, that root us, that anchor us in our relationship with God, that keep us coming back for that new word of truth. We need that in order to trust God and to seek to emulate Jesus whom we follow. So those personal practices, those practices we do by ourselves that help us to have that relationship with God are our first goal, our first reason for doing this. We're also guided and shaped as people of faith, meaning our communal peoplehood, by practices that help, that we do with other Christians and that help us to learn and see the God life in other Christians. They help us to help each other, like we sang earlier in the service. And as I mentioned already, we're practicing one of those right now, when we worship together, when we hear the scripture all in the same space together, when we sing the words of the hymns, when our hearts turn toward prayer together. We're practicing our faith together. We could be doing that on our own, all of those things we could do on our own, read and pray and sing. We could even listen to a sermon on our own. But sometimes, sometimes that's exactly the right thing to do. But for our lives to best reflect who Jesus is, we must connect with other members of the body of Christ. We need to see them growing and displaying the fruit of the Spirit. We need to learn from them when our choices lead us astray. We need to be shaped by the values and the ethics that the scriptures teach us by seeing them in the lives of others that we rub shoulders with in the body of Christ. And we need their care and support when we are suffering. And we need to be able to give it when others are suffering. To become the mature people that God intends, we need each other in the body of Christ. A solo walk with Christ does not result in the full and flourishing spiritual life of either the individual or the community. The full and flourishing life in Christ happens by the giving and receiving in the body. The giving and the receiving in the body that we just a couple of weeks ago asked Matt Culbertson about when he was baptized. Do you commit to that with us in order to become a member? We asked that of Carol Eisenhart a couple of weeks ago. When we become a member here, we commit to giving and receiving, the one anothering with one another. The scriptures are full. The New Testament is full of a lot of one anotherings. I think of that as what we choose to do. So let us hear another scripture and then two more testimonies that give us a glimpse of how spiritual friendship and hospitality are ways of giving and receiving in our spiritual practices.
John 15, verse 12 to 17. My command is this, love each other as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other.
Ago, a friend of mine, a teacher friend, wrote to me really distraught because her husband had just been diagnosed with brain cancer. I wrote back to her immediately with words I don't remember to encourage her, to reassure her, to calm her, to tell her I'd pray for her, to be there for her. Over the next months, I committed daily to send her words. It might have been thoughts I had, quotes from someone, words from a song, scripture. I don't remember what they were, but she often responded to me with a new concern for the day, new pain she was experiencing, as well as her husband's or adult's children's struggles. Occasionally, she would reply to one of my messages, say, "How did you know those were the words I needed today?" And I could only say, well, I really didn't know, but it was a God thing, the Spirit working in in me to her. 8 months later, her husband did pass away sooner than was expected. I continued to send her thoughts, words, quotes, etc., and scriptures I don't remember. All these years later, I am still messaging her every day as a part of my morning routine. I have found and been challenged by seeking and sending words of healing, hope, and encouragement and inspiration to others, and it's actually become an evolving spiritual practice or discipline for me. I've added other women to my list who may be experiencing difficult times or just ordinary times. This practice connects me to God and is creating deep and forever friendships.
Hello. Okay, I'm going to start with a question to the crew. Raise your hand if you've ever been to someone's home for a meal or coffee or any of the sorts. Anyone out there? Oh, good crew. Okay, keep your hands up. Oh, we already put them down. Keep your hands up if you enjoyed the experience. And keep your hands up if you felt loved and seen during that experience. These could also be all different experiences, whatever you're thinking about. Okay, I don't feel like I really need to convince you why hospitality is important. So I'm maybe gonna just talk about ways I use hospitality, or more specifically at Invivo, the ministry I worked at, ways that we would show hospitality. It's a main pillar of everything we do. So some of those things would be giving out free food, especially working with college students. They love free food. Everyone feels loved when they have food, hopefully. And we would put name tags similar to these so people could learn each other's names. There is power in knowing names. There's love in knowing names. I think also just walking up to new people and genuinely wanting to know them. Hey, I recognize you're new. How are you? Who are you? Welcome to this place. I think it's also sharing and being vulnerable about your own life with someone, not just getting to know someone else, but letting them get to know you. I think cooking for people in your home as well as I've also seen a lot of life change when our students invite us into their homes. So that practice, that sharing, as Nathan Miller mentioned about SWAP last week. So when Eva, Cody, and I showed up to a new church about 2 years ago in Salamanca, by the second week, they had already learned our names, which was a huge deal. And then in the coming weeks, they prayed for us and in vivo during church services. Later, they invited us over for breakfast, and I can surely say that that changed my experience. They loved me so well and invited me in. They helped me see God in a tangible way. Sometimes hospitality is also accepting an invitation into someone's home. So what, if anything, has been keeping you from sharing with others in love? Are you unsure of who?
Anyone, that's the answer.
Do you fear you won't know what to talk about? Have you put it lower on your list of priorities? Because eating together, sitting together, that's where real change can take place. That's where our hearts can change and understand someone's story. And that's where difficult topics and controversial opinions can be met with empathy and unity. It's as simple as an invitation.
Please turn in your purple hymnal, sing the story number 57. We'll remain seated for this one.
Probably so familiar to us now we don't even see it, but when you first come in the front door, right on your right by the office door is a big green banner that is of our denominational vision statement, and it talks about growing communities of grace, joy, and peace. Growing communities of great grace, joy, and peace. That's our vision as a denomination for what we're up to as part of God's mission. It articulates what we think we are ultimately about as Jesus followers in the world, called by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Another way that we've described that more locally is offering Christ's peace to hearts, homes, community, and world. So ultimately, our growing deeper with God and our in being encircled and encircling others as part of the body of Christ is meant to shape us to be part of what God is doing in the world, growing, flourishing people and communities. The Bible reveals to us that that is God's deep desire for the whole world. It's not just for us. It's not even just for us as a gathered community. It's how we are sent to become Jesus in the world. And so I think of the spiritual practices as kind of a three-legged stool. We have the ones that we cultivate for our own ongoing spiritual life in God. We have the ones that we cultivate that help us to grow as a body and to through all the different phases of life, the little ones on up to the bigger ones. And then we have the ones that send us out into the world and help us to become little Christs or Christians to the world. So let us hear a final scripture and a couple of more testimonies from our friends.
Second Timothy 1, verse 5 to 8. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Annis, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of one of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord.
Good morning. We have learned several different ways that we as children of faith seek a connection with God, and I would like to share another method that has been beneficial to me. It is through spiritual support groups. In general, a support group occurs when a small number of people wish to connect who are facing similar challenges. When you add the word spiritual to support group, it shifts the direction of the group to include the importance of God in one's life, with the goal of finding meaning, value, trust, and strength in difficult times. I will share a little of my history. I have experienced many losses of loved ones over my adult life, most often to cancer. My first fundamental loss was the death of my beloved sister, who died on her 26th birthday. I struggled for years to come to terms with the why of her tragic death. I was angry with God, very angry. After 7 long years of questioning, Cal and I joined a couple's small group at our church. It was the right time and the right place for the Holy Spirit to help me to be able to let go of the resentment. It was a profound gift. As the years passed, we lost 3 other important people to cancer, as well as burying all 4 of our parents. Grief became a familiar and unwelcome companion in my life. Each of these recurring traumas brought back memories of earlier losses. As the saying goes, timing is everything. A few years ago, I joined a grief support group in the midst of yet another profound loss. There was nothing magical about the people involved. We simply shared our stories, our struggles, and our victories. We listened, we prayed, we read. Vulnerability and honesty became a part of the group. Over time, my connectedness to God has become stronger with the encouragement, comfort, and caring I have experienced with these people in my spiritual support groups. As I have learned, as each of us shares openly, I see the face of God, and I am grateful. I will close with an African proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
For thousands of years, we have praised God with music. For thousands of years, we have poured out our hearts in song. The shepherd boy David played his harp to calm King Saul's troubled mind. Later, as king himself, David played to soothe his own troubled soul. There is an entire book of the Bible devoted to the spiritual practice of music and song, and the practice lives on today. Modern psalmists take scriptures and set them to music. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Modern writers share their laments, their hopes in songs. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Not long ago, I started learning to play the guitar. I play to remember songs from my childhood, from past churches, from small groups, from service trips. Jesus, won't you come by here? Oh, Jesus, won't you come by here? I play to learn new songs so that I can sing with you. And holy is your name. I play to soothe my soul, to focus my mind on God. I sing my heart out in lament, and I sing my heart out in celebration. Sometimes I delight in reading the Bible. Other times I journal to God. Sometimes I memorize scriptures. Sometimes I sketch or craft. And sometimes the creative engagement of music is what I need so that I can see, hear, and deeply feel the presence of God. We will sing our song together, sing in harmony. Thank you.
Turn in the purple hymnal, sing the story number 120, Somebody Prayed for Me. You can remain seated.
Spiritual practices are some of the ways that God's living water comes to us in the cups that we can drink and in cups that we can carry to others. I know you join me in thanking these six brothers and sisters in their willingness to be vulnerable with us and share from their hearts about ways that they are seeking to keep close to God in their ordinary lives. Thank you to each of you. We offered these stories to you this morning in hopes that this will encourage you to keep doing what feels like it's a fit in your life right now that is working, or to encourage you to borrow an idea from somebody else. Some of our spiritual practices are lifelong. Some end up being more for a season. Some are wise to do daily and weekly. Some might be less often. And there are many many practices that we can turn to that have been tested through the time of the church. And as the pastor that likes to teach Exploring Your Fit, I'll just put in a plug here for It's a Good Idea. We're all crafted by God with a little bit different kind of spirituality, and some of the practices will be a fit for us spiritually, and others will tend to leave us a little uninspired, and that's okay. Keep looking for the things that do give you life. I want to conclude with two questions for you to carry this week. What have you discovered so far in your life that draws you closer to God, to the Christian fellowship, and to witnessing and working for God in your life? What have you found helps you with that? And what might you like to try? Amen.